So we are not to insult each other by calling each other raka or fool. And so, by putting value, putting worth, putting significance, by looking each person in the eye and trying to see the light of Jesus within that person's eyes, then we are in the process of trying to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. Further on, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And we could spend several message times talking about the Lord's Prayer in itself. So I'm just going to skip over it today. But at the end of that prayer is a very interesting statement. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So when we become members of the kingdom of God, when we struggle to be the people that are called the disciples of Jesus, Jesus gives to us a way of relating to each other. It's a relationship of forgiveness. And how I understand this relationship of forgiveness is that when I look at myself and I see the things that I do, or sometimes the things that I think, and I realize how unworthy I am for God in Christ to accept me, then I begin to understand, in a little way, that awesome acceptance that God in Christ has. Because I'm totally unworthy to be part of God's kingdom. And yet, by comparison to some of the other people in the world, people would say, oh, you don't even know what sin is. But I do, because I understand how unworthy I am of that greatness that God has in bringing about a sense of compassion, a sense of respect, a sense of honor, a sense of worthiness that God wants each of us to see and understand of ourselves and other people. So he says to me, the way I am to start bringing about the kingdom of God is by forgiving. Now, we know that God has said we are to love God and we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So I understand that the beginning of forgiveness comes from understanding that God forgives me, because it's in understanding that I begin to understand how to forgive others. And yet, probably the most difficult thing I have found in my relationship with people, and spending 10 years as a guidance counselor in a high school and seeing students who were totally angry with the rest of the world because they saw themselves as not being accepted, and yet had the greatest difficulty in accepting themselves and forgiving themselves, and helping them to understand how, and it's interesting because in a school system you couldn't talk about God in the way we talk about God here, to understand that they were a person of value and worth, that they had some control in their lives, that they had some ability that had been given to them to be able to change things and do things differently. And seeing how that understanding that they were accepted began with themselves. Because to love God meant to be able to love themselves first. And in loving God and understanding how God loves me, I can begin the process of knowing how to love you, to see you as a person of value, a person with dignity, a person with worth. So there are consequences to what we do and how we do things. Now, Jesus goes on to say, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Now think about that for a minute. On who on this earth does the sun rise? And on who in this earth does the sun set? Right. So, we are to love everyone as God loves us. I think sometimes of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And probably most of you know who she is and some of the work that she did. And she said the reason for her work was to see the light of Jesus in the eyes of the poorest of the poor on this earth. And she lived her life as an example of that. When she passed away in India, all of the people of India celebrated her life because they recognized in her the work that is done amongst human beings by our Father who is in heaven. She lived her life never having any money because she gave it all away. She lived her life sleeping on a floor because she thought, if God's poorest in this world sleep without a bed, I also need to sleep without a bed. And so by example, she demonstrated how she saw the value, the worth of every single human being. And it didn't matter what caste they came from. It didn't matter what religion they were part of. Because she saw them all as being part of God's creation and God's people. And I believe that's what God is calling each of us to do. And how we do it is up to each one of us. So Jesus goes on to say, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So Jesus is asking each one of us, what is significant and important to you? What is your treasure? We all come into this world with nothing, and I understand we all go out with the same amount, except for the fact that those of us who believe in God and Jesus Christ and his resurrection know that we have a life beyond this life that is more important and significant. But while we live on this earth, we are to be the disciples of God. Jesus says, all people will know that you are my disciples in that you love one another. Jesus knows and people will know that we are his disciples in that we love one another. It's not just love. It's loving each other. It's seeing, as Mother Teresa says, the light of the eyes of Jesus in our neighbor, in our friend, in our enemy. He then goes on to say that the lamp of the body is the eye. In other words, how we see things is what gives insight to how our world looks. So what do we use as the touchstone of how we see things in this world? Do we see things as good or bad? Of God or of Satan? With love or with evil? How does God in Jesus want us to use our ability to see, to give us insight into what it is that God wants for us? For he says, no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So I ask you today, who do you serve? To who do you give your allegiance? Who gives you the insight in how you use your eyes to see? And then I skip over a few verses in Matthew to a passage which I find really exciting. For Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all of you who labor, who are burdened with life, and I will give you rest. Excuse me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word yoke that's used here means to teaching. So the yoke of Christ is the teaching of Christ. And he's saying to us, come, all of you. My teaching by comparison to other teachings in this world is really very easy. It's very simple. Learn about me. Learn from me. Understand that I am not heavy-handed. I do not use a whip to drive people, but I gently lead you because I care about you. And you want you to understand how I care. And when you do that, you will have peace. You will have rest. For my yoke is light. In other words, as when yoked together with Christ, he takes the burden. He takes all of that which can weigh us down. He takes those things where we say, Lord, how can I possibly be your friend? You are my friend and I am your brother, even though you are a king. That hymn means so much to me. When I come to worship God, to understand how significant his opening himself to me, his coming from heaven down to my level, to be a part of this world and live with me. When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to go to Earlham College in Indiana. The reason we went there is because there was a man teaching there by the name of Eldon Trueblood. Eldon Trueblood wrote a book called Yoke Fellowship, where he talks about the yoke of Christ and how if we truly are God's disciples, we allow him to take our burdens, to be yoked to us. Eldon Trueblood was a Quaker. It was interesting to go to a Quaker worship service. The room where we worshiped was just a square, and there were benches around the outside edges of it. And they warned us when we went in there that they don't have a preacher the way we have one here, and somebody talks to you and teaches you. But you sit in silence. And you wait for the Spirit to come. And if the Spirit comes to one of the people of the congregation, they will speak. And if they speak in tongues, somebody will interpret. So we went into the worship service and we sat there. We sat for about 20 minutes and not a sound was made. I think it's the longest 20 minutes of my life. But then suddenly, a person got up and started to speak. And it was beautiful the way the person started to talk about the significance of Jesus and how he worked in the lives of people. and became one of the best worship services I've ever attended. We don't wait for the Lord sometimes. We spend too much time in the busyness of our lives instead of saying, Lord, I'm here. Help me. In my belief, help me. In my unbelief, help me. Help me to be still and know that you are truly God. Help me to see with your eyes. Help me to flavor things with your salt. Help me to take your yoke and be paired with you in the burdens of life. On this Sunday of each month, we celebrate communion together. It is one of the earliest and most defined acts or rituals of the Christian church. It was celebrated by the earliest of Christians following the acts of Jesus in what took place in the Last Supper. And in this service, we still ourselves. We ask for God's Spirit to be with us. We take the symbols of the bread and the wine, understanding the new relationship that God calls us into, filling ourselves with the remembrance of his death. And the significance of that, because it brings about our right relationship with God. Thinking about how Jesus spent time to sit down, teach his disciples, work with his disciples, and the people of the communities around him. And so we come today. I'm going to ask you to come forward and take the elements and sit down, and then we will partake of these elements together. So, bring them to me. Thank you. As people are coming forward to get the elements, pause for a moment to think about how God in Jesus Christ loves you, cares for you, forgives you, accepts you. And then in all of that, challenges each one of us to go forward from this place, to be his disciples, as we accept, forgive, and recognize in each other the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says to us, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you." And so this comes to us directly from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, as we remember you, as we remember your life and your teaching, as we remember how you ask us to work with each other as you worked with us, as you died for us and rose again and give to us a newness of life in your resurrection. May we partake of this bread and give thanks. Amen. So as we have remembered the body of Christ that is given for us, we also remember that in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new relationship in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake of the life given to us in the cup of Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in what we have done here today, in the ways in which we have remembered you, fill us with your Spirit. Enable each one of us to be your salt, to be your light, to enable people to understand and worship you in what they see us do and how they see us being, and thereby to be your disciples as we bring about the kingdom on earth that is your kingdom. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you.
The altar is open. If anyone needs prayer this morning, please don't leave without getting prayer. We have elders and leadership who would love to pray with you. Have a blessed week in the Lord.